Nacho, congratulations.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you for having me. And yeah, it was a great day.
How much, I mean, how much authentic expectation did you have that she could win yesterday?
The reality is that I thought that she's going to run a big race. I mean, when you run, I mean, I think that that field, it was so much better than the field of the year that she won the race. That, you know, it was a field that you have four grade one winners. Of five horses running there, so you're going to run third and run a great race also. So I knew that she's going to run a big race. We prep her, you know, the way that this is going to be her last race, so we have to, you know, have her ready for this. We know what we were facing, you know, probably the second best or the best filly in the mare in the country and the best three-year-old filly in the country. So we knew that we needed a big effort, and we prepped her for that. And she responded, you know. But it didn't caught us by surprise. I mean, we were expecting something big, you know. I mean, now, if she had run second of L8 or Dunbar Road, I mean, it would be a great race, too. I mean, they're still, you know, very quality, you know, horses. So, I mean, she ran the race that we expect her to run, and she won. So that's even better.
Yeah, to say the least. And, you know, yeah. you look at the career, you look at her, the time with you, and, I mean, she has maintained her form for such an extended period. I mean, take away that seasonal debut last year in the Azari, and, you know, where she was coming off the layoff. Other than that, she just has fired a shot every single time you lead her over.
Yeah, but if you look at all her performances, it's like she always tends to get well, you know, by at the right time. You know, September, October, that's when she always peak. It's like, and the older she got, you know, it's like it gets, you know, more tough for her to get, you know, really fit. I mean, she's not a great workhorse, so she doesn't give you really a lot. So it's sometimes it's for her, it's like a... For me, this year, she needed, instead of one race to be ready, she needed three. So, you know, we have taken her more time this year than last year to be, you know, at her peak. But she always was, you know, even not being at her peak, she's always very competitive. I don't think that she ever won a bad race, except for the one that you mentioned, and probably she was a little too fresh for that race.
On that topic, stylistically, and with, you know, with the smallish field, just four foes, how were you and Joe approaching it? What did you think you were going to have to do to compete and to win?
Well, I mean, I have been focusing this the whole year, and I only accomplished this twice this year. But since I started this year, I was mentioned Joe when he wrote her, and even, you know, Javier when he wrote her, that, you know, we need her to chase, not to be chased. I don't want her, because she doesn't get focused. Once she gets in front, she just forget about everything. She is more of a fighter, you know, and she needs the target. And she was probably too sharp. You know, the first two races, three races, I got her too sharp. I mean, she went with the speed. And so the only difference is when I went back to her best races, that was the Spinster or the other race that it was the Fall City that Jose rode her, she was probably four or five lengths off the pace coming home. And that's when she fired the best. So we accomplished that when she ran at Saratoga, and she put a hell of an effort. And because, yeah, we won by a neck, but the third one was 15 lengths behind. So it was a hell of a race. And then yesterday she was sitting and have, you know, watching everything that was going on in front of him. And that was the only approach that I told Joe. And then he did everything great. I mean, he put a hell of a ride.
You know, she also trained, you know, training over the track, which is never a bad thing. And, you know, she ends up. She ends up, from a figure standpoint, looking at this, Nacho, I just went and looked. The 97 Buyer, that's a career top for her.
Yeah, well, that, this is her house. This is her home, you know. So, I mean, I guess that being local helped us this time. You know, is she loves to train here. She knows this place. I've been training here. She's been training here for 3 years. So I guess that that's a, you know, an edge in her favor. I mean, that's good for her. And but I think that the main thing for her is to chase and not be chased. That is the big, or the big adjustment, if you want, that we have done and have worked so far. And you know, Jose figured out how to do it in Saratoga. Joe now. So I mean, I think that if she keep doing this, she might still have, you know, something to show.
Hmm.
But we'll see.
Well, now the question is, you look ahead, and you know, here's another opportunity for the Breeders' Cup distaff.
Yeah, but the names have changed. Instead of Mono Maya, they're going to be all the other ones, but. You know, is the fact that you have a shot is important enough and something to be happy about, and we'll take it from there. But as I said, if she can relax the way she did it, I think that she's going to have a shot. I mean, I don't know if we're going to beat Midnight Bisou or if Elite goes there or Dunbar Road is going, or wherever is going, but she's going to have a shot. And the other thing is, she's never going to embarrass you. She always tries. She's incredible, you know. She always tries, and she always gives you her best.
A lot to be excited about for at the end of a nice run. And she's 6 years old. I heard you allude with Brittany Erton, you know, to her, you know, going to the breeding shed for Maribel. Obviously, given everything you had to go through in rebuilding your business, having her there, you know, day after day, month after month, year after year, and, you know, maintaining this level of performance, it's indescribable, Nacho, what a horse like this means to you, and particularly, you know, under the circumstances as she came along.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I mean, she have, you know, made us more than we made her. I mean, she have helped us really a lot. And certainly will be missed enormously, but that's the way it works, so. Maybe one day, at one point somewhere, I can train one of his offsprings. We'll see.
Hmm.
You know, maybe I get that chance. It is what it is. You know, it's, I think that she's going to have had a wonderful career. I mean, it's like we are, I mean, more than thankful for everything that, I mean, she have done for us. I mean, she was incredible for us, for the whole team. For everybody,
there's no doubt, and you know, she's got with this resume and with the kind of interesting pedigree that she's got, being a daughter of Pure Prize, and out of, you know, the Argentinian family. I mean, she's got potential. Who knows what she'll click with? Probably a number of North American sire types. There's a lot to like about her. From that standpoint,
yeah, I mean, and you have to also, she was champion 3 years old in Argentina, so she's also a champion that she, you know, confirmed all her talent in America. And so I guess that she's going to get a very good shot and a very good stallion. And then hopefully one of those, they end up in my barn. Who knows?
Exactly. Well, and what is Maribel, what's their plan? Are they going to put her through the sale, or are they going to retain her?
No, she's entering Fassi Clipton
sale. In the sale. I wasn't sure.
Yeah. Okay. So I think she's going to a sale. We haven't talked about that, but that's my understanding. And so we're going to go to California and then to the sale. So that's the plan for now, I think. So we'll see.
How did you connect up with the Maribel team?
Peter called me and offered me Lou Price because of Ignacio Paulocchi Jr. That we have a long family friendship and commercial relationship, and he recommended me for this filly. And it happened that also the trainer of this filly in Argentina was one of my best friends. So I guess that she was pretty complicated, so I tortured him a lot, you know, on the phone, asking questions and whatnot about her to, you know, get to know her the best I could. So, they help a lot. You know, all of those horses that I had from Argentina, I mean, they come from different trainers, but they all have done a great job. And, you know, when they do a good job developing the horses, it makes your life easier.
Well, my connection or my knowledge just of them comes from the jump side, right, from the steeplechase side.
Mm-hmm.
With the Vosses, long, I think a pretty long association on that front. And this has been an amazing run just on the page, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, at least 5 graded stakes. And there might be one or two more that isn't even on the page.
No, won 7 graded stakes in America.
7 graded stakes. How about that?
No, 6 graded stakes won 1 listed race. Or
yeah,
2. Something like that. 7 stakes.
Here it is. I got it.
She was great for us.
Because the top flight.
Invitational.
Invitational, and then the Summer Colony actually is a restricted, not winners of That's why those races are so much fun. A race like the Summer Colony, the horses that have not won a sweepstakes in a calendar year, or you know those kinds of conditions, and you end up with horses like Blue Prize in it and Vexatious, you know, who's it's just a matter of circumstance. After being fourth in the Distaff last year, beaten a length and change. Third in the La Troyenne, second to She's a Julie in the Florida Lee. And, you know, and it's funny, that race, you think back to that La Troyenne, and it feels like She's a Julie just jumped up that day in particular, and Secret Spice has been okay since. But that was really not a bad effort at all. I mean, she just it's amazing. Then the mile and a quarter in the Del Cap, third behind a late and Escape Clause, and now this repeat in the Spinster. And it's a short list of horses that have repeated in the Spinster too. That Take Charge Lady came up right away, but this is
Bajakoa.
Absolutely. So, for the Withams.
Good. Yeah, for her to be in that on that race with Bajako itself and to with Take a Charge Lady is pretty impressive. You know, it's a very nice race to win at home.
You know, Nacho, you bring up Bajakoa, who herself was an Argentinian bred, and now I'm looking, Passiana, an Argentinian bred. Different, an Argentinian bred. And this is all McAnally. Miss Linda for John Kimmel. She was an Argentinian bred.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a race made for Argentinians.
Five different Argentinian bred mares and fillies have won the Spinster, and no other foreign bred has won this race other than Argentinians.
Yeah. Well, we have to be good at something.
Stop. <That's>, excited for you to get the free pass out to California with her. I can tell that you know that there's going to come a morning within about 4 weeks now that, you know, she's not going to be in that first stall, but and that's always a little hard to face.
Yeah, but we'll try to look for the next one. That's we always looking for the next one, and we are very blessed that we have like a bunch of nice horses that, you know, and a bunch of new projects that hopefully they're gonna, you know, get us back on the Spinster next year. So we hope to be able to develop them and they, you know, thrive like she did. And, you know, she will be dearly missed, but, you know, that's, we miss Kasaki, we miss Doña Bruja, we miss all the good horses I had. And, you know, if they are close, we visit them, and if not, we keep them with us forever. We always, they always remind us, you know, how good they were for us.
Well, and you still have others, and I want to mention because, of course, on Saturday you did send Real Story out in the Shadwell, and you know, Real Story was one of the prices that didn't seem impossible, especially coming out of that good effort in the Tourist Mile. I have not watched the trip again. I haven't watched the replay yet, but I saw it live. What happened with Real Story?
Essentially, the horse is in great shape now. I mean, it's okay. I don't think that he has the best trip. And looking back, probably, I mean, a mile with that, you know, with the 10, you know, that close on the 14th, you know, post-position, it wasn't ideal. And and I think that the things that didn't went with him, but I mean, everything was not nice. But you know, that's racing, and he's a good horse. He's gonna come back, and he's gonna, you know, keep winning and doing his thing. Probably, you know, he needs to run more of a minor 16 or a minor 8. And but so far he's good, and we look forward, you know, for the winter, to see what we have in Florida or wherever we decide to go. But he's gonna come back. He's a good horse. Well, you know, it's just a race to just scratch.
Put a line through. Yeah, put a line through.
Yeah.
How, looking ahead to this week, how about Thursday, Chief of Joy, that Kitten's Joy for Dave McCarthy, Ramsey bred and 3-year-old out of a deputy minister mare. Looked certainly bred to be a, you know, a nice horse.
We gelded him, and now he's training very well. I think that he should run a good race and on Wednesday. I mean, I'm very hopeful that he runs big time. He's sitting on a big race, so I hope that he delivers, because he is much more than he has shown so far.
Well, and in addition, let's go to the end of the week, and you've got a Brazilian bred that you own in partnership with Dennis Lowe. This is Elke de Juaret, a public purse filly, first time starter. 3-year-old filly. What public purse is a new sire to me. That's a name I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's Dennis bought her in Brazil. She is the sister of Castro Jaguarete, that was horse of the year 2 years ago, and now he's a extremely good horse in Hong Kong. He ran third in the Derby. He's a very good horse in Hong Kong, and we are looking forward to her start. I mean, I think that she might need a race, but I think she's going to be a good filly. Down the road, I hope that I'm right, and you're going to, you know, hear from her.
Very nice. I'm glad I asked, and I absolutely, when you say that about the sibling, about the brother, pretty interesting. Nice. First time North America, Elky Juaret, Brazilian, and you also, boy, you're hitting all the international. You got that Chilean in on Thursday as well, on Friday, actually. Let me see. I lost it. El Picaro.
El Picaro, yeah. Picaro is training extremely well, but that allowance is like the most spicy allowance you can find in the world. I mean, it's like a grade two. But I mean, it was very disappointing. I mean, after his first race that Javier rode him, and he had a terrible trip. I mean, nothing went right for him or for Javier. But he put a great effort on the wise dad. Then we took him to Arlington, and I was a little bit, I mean, Bandua won in great way that day. I mean, I think that was impossible to beat him, but I was, you know, disappointed with his effort. And then he was training great, doing everything he should, decide to ship him to Denmark, and that was really disappointing. And so we back up a little bit, and he's training like a monster. I mean, it's like we adjust a couple of things. I talked to Aisa, that was his trainer in Chile, I mean, to get some, you know, background on him, what we can do better. And I think that I have him doing extremely well. But, you know, when you look at that field with Parlo and Doville is there, I mean, it's like, it's crazy, you know. I mean, for being an allowance, I mean, like, I don't even want to run there.
Well, as it happens, you know, Brendan Walsh was on earlier, and he's in there. You mentioned Deauville, and we talked about.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, Deauville is, we tend to forget that he ran third as a 3-year-old in the Arlington Million. I mean, I think he won or ran second on the Belmont Derby. I mean, he's head of a horse, you know. So, Canelli's horse also is a tough horse. I mean, it's a very tough field, you know. They should put him, you know, a stake name to that race, I guess.
Well, they do. They probably they've got a julep. They got the Julep Cup. It'll be the.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a name. I'll look it up on the overnight. This horse is actually Picaro is bred very similar. You know, with looking at Lucky shuttling, when El Picaro first showed up in the PPs, the first horse I thought of was Wowcat, bred similarly. Who's also looking at Lucky and.
He's looking at Lucky out of his cat daddy mare, and he was a hell of a horse in Chile. And here in the mornings, I mean, it's like the only trouble that we had was to slowing him down. And I think that we accomplished that now. So I hope that he responds to that because, he shows that he have a great talent. I mean, we need to find out a way that he can, you know, put it in the afternoons, not only in the mornings. But he's training very, very well.
Well, Natsia, I'm just so delighted to have this conversation and get a timely win, get a performance. You know, when you focus everything on a big year end goal, and you know, you're not the only horseman that's done that this year toward the Cup, and for her to repeat in the Spinster, really something. Blue Prize and Maribel, Joe Bravo, and Ignacio Correas, who you can follow on Twitter. But you have to know how to spell Ignacio. I-G-N-A-C-I-O. Correas. Ignacio, thank you, buddy. I'm very delighted, very happy for you.
Thank you very much, Steve, as always, for having me. And it's always a pleasure talking to you guys.
Well, we'll see you in California in just a couple of weeks. Blue prize goes in with the toward Breeders' Cup. Missed last year by a length and change. No Monomoy girl to deal with, but there is a Midnight Bisou to deal with and probably a rematch with several of these. We're going to take a break, bottom of the hour, just past the bottom, and Richard Mandela to talk about just the amazing. Of Omaha Beach.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Porchbills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Porchbills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
With Steve Beck on SiriusXM Radio.
Under the island, middle of the mountain, there is a big bad woman system blowing speakers.
We're back at the races, 20 minutes to fill out on this busy Monday. And there was one race, of course, over the weekend that just stood out as different from the rest, and having Omaha Beach prepare for a return and to target a couple different spots and have to adjust the schedule for any number of reasons and end up in the Santa Anita Sprint Championship, the Grade One. For him to come in, and everybody's thinking it's a prep race and they're going to go on to the Breeders' Cup, to come in and be ready to run that race, just further, a further testimony to Hall of Famer Richard Mandela's incredible horsemanship. And the accolades, Richard, they're pouring in from all over. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. But they need to be directed at Omaha Beach.
You got to have a horse like this, right? Precisionist is the horse I'm going to bring up, and you saw him up close. You got to have a horse that's capable of doing something like this.
Yes, I've found out all through the years that the really good horses appreciate my training much better than the other one.
But the one thing about this, Richard, that is tricky and is why it's so impressive. I mean, usually you've got a target race and you're training toward it and you've got a certain distance and a certain scenario in mind. But then to adjust to this and to beat a legitimate speedball three-quarter, animal to catch him that way, talk about what went into it and how you adjusted to settle on this spot.
Well, I had him ready to run a mile 2 weeks before, so I just walked him a couple days.
It's still different, right? I mean, you still the pace is going to be different. Talk about what goes into that and obviously. It's not just so simple as putting him in the gate.
No, but he's a very extremely intelligent horse with a great attitude, and he was fresh with a long layoff, so that added to the enthusiasm that we needed. But he's a horse that always has had plenty of speed, but my kind of natural style is to not focus too much on the speed. You always want to go a little further because that's where the big races are. So we never practiced it.
And I guess what? At half mile in 46 and 3, and I've seen some people say things, Richard, about, 108 and change, that's not, I guess people haven't gotten the memo that this is a little bit of a different track than it used to be.
Yeah, definitely. Anybody that doesn't realize what 8 and change means here at Santa Anita these days isn't watching the races here because they're not very fast. The injuries are way down from the problems we had early in the year, so it's probably a good thing.
Well, and in terms of fitness level and everything else, he blew out a half mile, 46 and 3, on the 27th, and then you kind of just took it easy from that point. And he was firing. You say how you were ready, well before, the hiccups and then the consideration of the ACAC after the shared belief fell through. You got this race in. Were you surprised, though, that he got up? Obviously, you wouldn't have been disappointed if he didn't. But what were your thoughts watching the race?
No, there's a water truck going by here. The horse, nothing he does would surprise me. The surprise was when he got beat on the turf the first few times.
going back to earlier in the year and late last year, that we discussed that, but it's well in the past now, and here he is, off of this win. What did Mike Smith say too? I didn't see any of the post race interviews.
No, he had some great things to say and compared him to some great horses, and I don't think anybody could have been more excited than all of us.
Well, and of course, Mike in those silks has got a pretty good record riding for Fox Hill for Rick Porter, and now you have to wait and watch and evaluate. Johnny D was on earlier, Richard, and I asked him what he thought you would do, and he said he thought you would wait as long as possible to make the next decision.
Yeah, there's no sense getting in a hurry because you got. I'm going to give him a few extra days off because he went through so much to get there and had to try so hard in the race that he won. And I'll get him back to the track later in the week and let him tell me what I ought to do.
If you had a gut reaction, knowing how fit he is, and what does a race like this, a three quarter in racehorse time, a 103 buyer, how much does he get out of that, and is it enough of a springboard to go a classic trip?
That's a big question. If I had to choose today, I'd say that the sprint is very interesting to just go back and try that. Worrying that, whether we've got time to gain ground from the race we ran to the Breeders' Cup, just going to have to see.
Interesting.
So right now I'd say nothing's out of the question. Probably more likely would be the sprint.
Can you recall stretching a horse out from under similar conditions to a serious route?
My mind, at my age, I'm lucky to remember what I had for dinner last night.
You're the best. Well, this was really a moment that I think a lot of people were really heartened by. It felt like an achievement, given the time and having to bob and weave. I'm sure you've gotten a tremendous amount of feedback from on track and away from it.
Yes, like I said at the start of the show, is people have been very generous to me. But the attention should be on the horse. He is just that special.
Well, we'll look forward to whatever it's going to be, and to have him back and to have him sharp and healthy and with all kinds of potential for down the road beyond Breeders' Cup. Looking forward to it. Let me ask you too, Richard, while we're together, anonymity, L.A. woman earlier on the card.
Very disappointing. She didn't run a race at all, I didn't think. I can't really put my finger on it. She's in pretty good shape, but just didn't seem to have her heart in it, so we're trying to figure out what do we do. So we will check her out good and make the appropriate decision, I'm sure. The Breeders' Cup would be definitely a concern to run in that off of that bad race, so... I say bad. She ran third, but it was not a good race. It was nothing like her best. So we'll just figure out whether we try to find a stake race we can win with her before the end of the year, or I'm guessing that she would be introduced to motherhood at the start of next year.
Well, even last year, though, right? She didn't. Yeah, last year she got beat too in this race, and kind of. By Sky Diamonds, she kind of ran into the hot hand, but then she turned around and ran well in the sprint.
Yeah, but it was a better race. This one just didn't have a good look to it.
Well,
we'll see.
All right.
The first thing we do is check her out and make sure everything's okay.
Exactly. Well, I do have to ask you, in light of the fact that that Craig Fravel will be moving over to the Stronach Group. I have to ask you about Friday's race, where the Calbred Fravel is going to try to break his maiden. third try. What do you think?
Yes, he's training very well. I'm anxious for the day when we castrate him, and the announcer says, for the audience, just news that Fravel's been castrated and is now a gelding.
I love it. There's just too many, right? There's too many fun. There's too much fun to be had there. Richard, delighted for this outcome, and it's going to be one of the really fun stories heading toward Breeders' Cup, of course. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to getting out there, and well done.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
It really, for us, it is. Richard Mandela, an absolute Hall of Fame legend. He and so typical, just deflecting the praise and directing it toward the horse. Let's direct you to the last break of the morning, and we'll come back. We'll wrap up the Monday get-together. We'll set up what's coming tomorrow, because there's only, I don't know, another dozen trainers to talk to. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent the Sermon Afternoon Delights, absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9000. 938-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Well, we're actually right on top. Got up 3 or 4 minutes to kind of fold in some of the other results from the weekend. What didn't we catch up on that we can fold in? Well, I can tell you that. Oh, I do want to mention. I don't know if we'll get to Doug O'Neill. I did mention the upset by Stubbins, who ran great in that Woodford and picked up pieces of a collapsing what seemed to be a collapsing pace. And I am going to have to watch that again because watch for extravagant kids trip. And it wasn't a huge field either, right? It was a seven? I think it was like a seven-horse field. I think, give or take. Let me see. I got it right here. There, a little bigger. It was nine. It was nine-horse field. I glossed over Stubbins, but I bring up Doug O'Neill because I can't recall if I mentioned the rally, I think I did, that Doug and Oscar De La Torre on Saturday had the, the pro industry rally at Santa Anita and deserved tons of support. And then O'Neill goes out and gets a nice win. We also want to catch up with some of the other Sundays. We'll save the Wesley Ward because Wesley's two wins that I do want to get to him with that Kamari who just came storming home. If you didn't see the Indian Summer yet, and he also had on the front end the exact opposite manner, Errat Ortiz with four wheel drive in the Futurity at Belmont, the American Pharaoh. We talked about the Godolphins that went along with Brendan Walsh's win, Stidham sending out alms in that matron, and Alvatrani with Final Frontier. We'll get to Brad Cox, absolutely. We'll get to Cox to talk British Idiom and Arklo and more. And Baltus with the pair, Lady Ninja in that L.A. woman, the Majestic Perfection daughter. So a nice win for Majestic Profession. I mentioned Van Dyke at the beginning of the show. Three stake wins for Drayden, Lady Ninja, True Velour in the City of Hope, and Toinette in that nightcap for Drysdale. Big weekend. And obviously, Van Dyke getting back into form. And who else tomorrow? I do want to reach. Oh, Barkley Tag. I got to get to Barkley to talk about his win. So, yeah, count on those. Andy will be by, too. Maybe we'll get to Peter Miller. And those three, actually, those I have not watched the last. We were just getting home, and we did not get in those I got to catch up. I saw the charts, but I have not seen the races of the late. The late stakes yesterday at Santa Anita. So we got to catch up on those, including the big price, right? The big price winners that lit things up. I haven't looked at the mutuals yet, but the 35-1 shot, obviously, Craig Lewis for the Warrens. Warrens Showtime. Stunner. Pretty cool. So lots yet to do, all right? Monday, so modest, obviously a modest schedule. Giving you, let me see, here we go. I was gonna give you today's Monday action. Ajax, how about that? Ajax and Finger Lakes, Grants Pass. Grants Pass up in Oregon, right? Mountaineer, Parks, Presque Isle, Thistle Down at Zia. There you go. There's your cards for today. Speaking of the Pacific Northwest, congratulations to Phelan Taylor and Cowboy Swagger. This was your Retired Racehorse Project Thoroughbred Makeover winner, a cutting horse, a barrel horse, barrel racer, named America's Most Wanted Thoroughbred from all the action at the horse park. And I got a great reaction. Everybody really enjoyed hearing from Jen Reutz the other day when they were just getting going at the horse park. So there you go. Thanks to Richard Mandela, Nacho Caris, Brendan Walsh, Alan Foreman, Johnny D, Deja on the board. We'll do it again tomorrow. Keep recapping, digging in, and start to get our fields, right? Just the Jessamine left at Keeneland for the 2-year-old turf fillies. So now we can start to get serious about your Breeders' Cup fields. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day. Talk to you in the morning.